Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
So I was on TikTok, and you know the FYP hashtag? So this bitch
for you page,
this bitch showed up on my thing, and I'm gonna call her a bitch,
okay?
Because you'll find out why I'm calling
her coming out the gate,
coming out and calling her a bitch.
All right, cool.
Because she said, you know, I love Enterprise. She goes, I don't care what you say. She goes, I love Enterprise. And in parentheses underneath was except Reed. And I was like,
"Fuck this bitch." Yeah, like, that's ridiculous. How could you not like Reed?
And I was like, "What are you hating Reed for?"
I mean, Reed was one of the best security officers in Star Trek.
Like he was ready to go. Like, you know, I mean, that whole
honestly, it's you just racist. You don't like British people.
Yeah, exactly. You don't like white British men. I mean, that's, you know, right. I mean, that's okay. Just call it what it is. I mean, that's just what, you know.
And, you know, just as a disclaimer, since we are talking about a white British guy, it might be some history there that we're unaware of. And they got around a little bit. You know what I mean? Just saying, you know. I don't know if we're talking to someone from India or maybe, you know.
It doesn't matter. She was a bitch. I don't care.
I think Reed's great. And he got a lot of, you know, not really as himself, but he got a lot of screen time in this one.
Dude, fucking Mayweather got more screen time in this than he did the whole series.
And you know what I noticed too? They misused Mayweather. He's really good.
Oh, yeah.
At like delivering lines and shit. You know what actors do? he's really good at it.
You know, but that thing that those guys get paid for? Yeah. Like,
you know, when they say words and shit as their character, I mean, it works out.
As they say words.
You know? Jesus.
You know the those letters that come that are grouped together and that are on a piece of paper, they can say that stuff.
Look,
really,
you know,
well,
you know when a dude shows up, right? And there's like cameras and shit, and it's a dude, and you're like, oh shit, it's the dude, and then he acts like a different dude. You know what I mean? And you're like, wait, what the fuck is he doing? This isn't that dude. It's because he's acting. And then you're like, oh shit. Imagine if you were really having a conversation with someone who was stone faced telling you that. You'd be looking at him like, are you all right? What the fuck?
You're just going to sit right there. The ambulance will be here in a minute. I think you just had a stroke or something.
The ambulance, a fucking paddy wagon.
I'd be calling an ambulance because that fucker might have just had a stroke.
Come on. People in a white coat's going to show up to pick your ass up. That's crazy.
Oh my god.
You think he's one guy, then he's a totally different guy.
Yeah.
It's an upside down world, man, you know.
The upside down
world. Anyway, the Jews control everything, you know. Then it starts, okay, all right, I see, all right, let's see where this is going.
You know, Kanye was right about some stuff. Like,
wait a minute, let me clean my glasses. Kanye. Somebody asked me, a friend of mine, he goes, yo, do you listen to Kanye West? I'm like, currently? No. They go, yeah, he's trash. I said, now hold on. The first three albums are golden, man. You can't take that away from him. But something happened where he just kind of broke, you know?
Yeah.
But he's still a musical genius. That's still in there. It's just everything else sucks.
So I was watching the Young Turks, and they were talking about Kanye, but they were doing this. They were playing segments of this interview that he did with Chris Cuomo, who's doing a new show on News Nation, and you know how when people do interviews and stuff like that, they're usually in a room, static room, and they're talking and stuff like that. No, Kanye's in a car. I don't know if he's driving, but it looks like he's driving on a cell phone video there, and he's over there like the reason he's mad at the Jewish media is because they refuse to call him a genius. And I'm like, bro, like, seriously? Like,
I was listening recently. You know, I listen a lot of music while I'm working and have Apple Music up and not sponsored. Apple, I mean, call me up. You know what I mean? We're going to get something done. But, and I threw on the Graduation album. Graduation album from Kanye West is a certified banger. The entire album. Those first three albums are like that. You can listen to them from song one to wherever the fuck it ends, and the whole thing is quality, which is pretty rare, especially in fucking hip-hop. It's pretty rare. Usually hip-hop's got like two tracks on there that are good, and then one that's like the radio one that you're like, oh shit, that made you buy the album. The rest of the album's fucking garbage. But his music was so good that it makes me not joke and go, I hope he gets help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he is a fucking genius, musically. Fucking throw that in there. Musically. And he's made, people don't know, a lot of people don't know, he's made beats for countless artists that are banger beats that you fucking bobbed your head to and you didn't even realize it. You know, it's just something up there ain't right. But then with Kanye, something that always comes back to me when thinking about Kanye and this alt-right version that he is now, where does his ex-wife sit in all this? They were married.
Very far away. That's
they were married for a while. Okay? So if she wasn't down with what he was saying, she was okay with it for a minute.
Because people are – I think somebody said that in a – somebody had asked her and she says – she said something to the effect of like, it's not my situation to work on.
So one for me, that whole situation, this is just me, you know, thinking, right? One of two things with her, Kim Kardashian, for some reason I can remember her name. She'll get pissed if you tell her that. Don't let her know that I forgot
her
name.
Or otherwise known as the chick Ray J banged.
Right. One of two things are true in that situation. Either one, which is probably the more likely, she didn't care.
Oh, God, no.
You know, very fake relationship, blah, blah, blah. Or she was trying to help him behind the scenes. And I want to believe it's the second one. I don't know why. Who fucking cares? It's Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. But I want to believe that in that trailer park with money fucking shit show that is that family, that there was just a spark there, you know? Like, I want to help my husband.
Well,
I don't want to turn it into a circus for the media.
I want to know, what is it with the Kardashians? What is with that, forgive the term, pussy, that drives the men fucking, like, insane?
More specifically, I feel it's a racially charged agenda because it's always black men.
Well, no, because look what happened to Caitlyn Jenner. She was married to their mom. He was married, she was married to his mom. Their mom.
You said Caitlyn, and I got confused. I'm like, what? But I forgot his sister. And then I remembered. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, but the mom is the most fucked up of them all. So you gotta give him a pass. You know what I mean? Like, and also, I don't dislike Caitlyn Jenner because she transitioned. I don't give a fuck. I dislike her because she won Woman of the Fucking Year.
Yeah.
That hurt my feelings. I'm not even a woman. I remember the day it happened, the day they announced it, I went to work the next day and I didn't say shit. You know, just sitting there working. And people were talking about it. And someone next to me, who I knew, was like, she's so brave and deserves it. And I just couldn't. I go, there were women that cured diseases this fucking year. You understand me? this person isn't even a full woman. You still got a dick swinging. And she went woman of the slap in the face. I said, if any woman on this planet is okay with this, they need to change their gender. Y'all motherfuckers playing for the wrong team. Because that makes no sense. It pissed me off. Like, I was like, this is stupid. This is it was a circus, you know. But transition, I don't care. That doesn't make her brave. I mean, that's happened before. Just because the person was on a Wheaties box doesn't mean they're special. Well, I guess it does, but not for that.
Well, I don't know. Tom Brady was on a Wheaties box.
Listen, Tom Brady is good at the game of football. Okay, we can't take that away from him. He also is banging a supermodel. I mean, come on.
A Brazilian supermodel.
Brazilians. And we talked about this in the last show. They know some shit. I'm telling you right now. They know some that shit. That man was always smiling. It's a reason. And it wasn't his career, bro. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, shit.
About to move to Brazil back in the day. That's a different story for a different time. Anyway, Star Trek. So... I'm in rare form today. I'm in a very joking around mood. After definitely catch our the Lazy Geeks official podcast. We were having a fucking hell of a time. 2 hour episode. Having a hell of a time in there goofing off. It's
been a while since we had a 2 hour episode.
Yeah. Usually Steve doesn't want to put up with me. Cut it short. It's like Steve, we've been recording for 10 minutes. Fuck you. I'm gone. All right.
Has it only been that long? Shit.
10 excruciating minutes. Like, jeez.
I want to tear out my eyes, even though I'm not seeing you. I want to tear out my eyes. All right. So this week's episode is actually a really good episode. I really enjoyed this one.
I really enjoyed it.
I was a lot of Hoshi, so that was a plus.
Yeah,
that
was. The makeup department did a good job because she looks sick.
Yeah,
later in like I was like, geez, is she okay? Like her, for real though? Like,
like her and Trip, like they look.
Yet again, we have an episode that shows. What's the name of the actor that plays Trip?
Oh, Connor Trinneer.
The talent. He was all over the place with the fucking talent.
Yeah.
This episode. I was so impressed by a lot of people showing up in this episode. Just because we're doing this whole they had to be two characters thing, which we'll get into.
But they it was so much fun. But they gave them some good scenes together.
They really
like
did.
We actually got a lot more about Hoshi.
We learned a bit about Hoshi.
Yeah, we got learned a bit more about her and then just we got some good dynamics with her. The most screen time we've ever seen Mayweather fucking get ever in this series.
Yeah, and lines too.
And lines and, you know, words that came out of his mouth and shit.
But isn't it a little disrespectful that the episode he gets lines, he's not Travis Mayweather. Right. Again, we'll explain later. But there's some kind of racism in that. I haven't connected the dots yet. But something Kanye wouldn't be happy with this.
Yes, exactly. And the thing with, and then the cool thing is that we also got Malcolm, not so high strung, in this episode
because it wasn't Malcolm,
you know. And the doctor,
he was fucking chilling walking through the corridors,
and
bro.
And the doctor I think had like what 2 or 3 days of work in this one from the way it looked.
The doctor was in the show a lot.
Yeah, he was in this episode,
and I love to see it because I love Phlox.
Yeah,
and Archer too. Archer was almost brought to tears at the end of the episode.
I know. It was kind of like...
I was almost brought to tears. I was like, don't you cry. I'm going to start crying.
And it was like a complete 180 from like last week's episode. You know?
The whole episode...
I think it was awesome. I think it was Emmy time. Like everybody was trying to boot.
I said that in the notes. Someone's going for Emmy. The whole episode is about empathy.
Yeah.
Which I thought was... It was... I don't know. I think we've had a couple of bad episodes, and this episode really hit it out of the park for me. It's just a really good episode.
Well, one of the
and I've never seen it. I was like, what the fuck is this?
One of the things that I don't remember seeing this episode either. Like when I watched it, I was like, oh shit. Like I didn't remember any of it.
But back in the day, I and we've explained this before, or I've explained this before, started working nights
during the fourth season, and then the third season didn't wow me. So I kind of fell off of the show. But I'm happy I'm watching it now.
And one of the cool things about this episode, too, is that Judith and Garfield Reeves Stevens wrote this episode. And if you've read any of the great Star Trek books, these are the writers for that.
Yeah.
You know, so you were dealing, you're dealing with canon, you're dealing with character. You know, it was really, really cool.
I just remembered. So I told my kids about this episode today. I was telling my son, my younger son, he's 12. I go, I hadn't seen this. He goes, you haven't seen a Star Trek? And I go, well, I started working nights, so I didn't catch it and, you know, whatever. And he goes, why would working nights mean anything? And I go, well, I was asleep when the show was on. And he's looking at me funny. And I look up like, what? I'm like, oh, streaming didn't exist.
Yeah.
So I had to watch it when it aired or I wouldn't be able to watch it. And he still looked at me like, what?
What the fuck is going on here?
And I turn and my wife even goes, Adam, stop. I turn to him, I go, listen. So this is how it works. A show came on at a certain time. Where I'm sitting at my computer, I pulled up the TV guide, like pictures of it. Right. And I go, see the schedule? That's it. That's all you got. Yeah.
and then, all right. But the thing is even during the summer break, like when you would see it, you'd be lucky. I mean, it wasn't that long. Like you only had like what, 8, 9, 10 weeks for a 22 episode season. So you wouldn't catch all those episodes.
Exactly. And you might be lucky. If it was a popular enough show, they'll rerun it.
Oh, yeah.
Usually on the weekends or something when it was off season.
Yeah.
Or if it was really important to you, you could go buy the DVDs.
But that you had to wait a while.
You had to wait a while. Now, fuck. These movies come to the fucking streaming services from the theater. They're in the theater for like a week. There's no point to go to the theater.
All right, anyway. So shall we?
Let's cruise right into this motherfucker. So the name of this episode, Observer Effect. It's episode 11. I didn't do this last episode, by the way. I'm slipping my old age. It's episode 11 of season 4. First aired January 21st, 2005. So in the teaser is a great teaser. It's short. And it's confusing, but in a good way.
Yeah.
So we see Reed and Mayweather playing chess in – I almost said 10 forward – in the mess hall. And they're talking like you're supposed to observe them and not – and you're kind of like, what the fuck are they talking about? And then you start very slowly. It gives you – just enough information that you know you figure out right at the end of the teaser that is not Reed and Mayweather. And you're like, wait, what? And then it's all, it's been a long road. And you're like,
well, what? Yeah, because like, you know, you see them playing chess and for a minute you kind of think, oh, Reed's teaching Mayweather how to play chess. You know,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and then he's like, you know,
we're assuming that because
he's
Reed is a military man and Mayweather's young.
Right.
He's probably teaching him how to play chess.
The cool thing that I liked was when them playing chess, like they're like they reset the board and then they do this and then Mayweather would stop and look and he goes, you're going to win in 4 moves.
Yeah.
And it is like, yeah. And then they put it back together and stuff like that. And they were playing really fast and he's like making the comment of like, you know, it's such an easy game. There's only a finite amount of moves. And, you know, it was kind of like, okay, and you start slowly picking up, especially the way Mayweather is speaking. I mean, Mayweather speaks like a white dude anyway, but his
I mean, I don't think you're allowed to say that in 2022.
But I'm saying it. he sounds so articulate, you know.
You're one of the good ones, Mayweather. You know? No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, he sounds like he's from the Midwest.
Yeah, yeah, because he's
very plain way of
very
speaking.
Plain, and then just kind of being a little more insightful than Mayweather usually, because Mayweather's usually a little more younger and kind of like, well, what are you talking about?
Mayweather doesn't sound stupid, but you're right. He always sounds like he's the one listening and trying to learn.
Right.
Because he's young. I think he's supposed to be, what, like 22 or something like that?
We know Hoshi's supposed to be the youngest of the crew.
Yeah, but she's
hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you see that.
The comedic timing tonight, you know, it's
just been fire today. So the way they're playing it and stuff like that, but then they do the observing thing, and then he's like, "Do you think they're aware that they're gonna die today?"
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Oh,
what?"
And he's like, "Well, not necessarily." And he's like, "But in my experience, at least one person dies." And then you're kind of like, "What the fuck?" And then it just like
been a long time. And you're sitting there going, "No, it ain't been no long nothing. What the fuck was that?" So yeah, this is an excellent episode. So we stroll right into Act One. We have a Hoshi and Trip.
Speaking of hotness.
Yeah, I put in the notes, Dirty Hoshi is still hot Hoshi. So they were on the...
Is it weird that it actually kind of made her hotter?
I think it's because she was... I have this weird... not fetish. It's too far. But I tend... If a woman is touching her hair or playing with her hair, I fixate on it. I don't know. I just like hair. Like, I like when women have nice hair.
Mine's okay? Usually when they're rubbing and clutching their breasts. But right. That's a little, I think that's.
You know, you're an old soul yeah. like that, you know.
I'm a traditionalist. I just, you know.
The whole her picking at her hair thing, I was like, she looks pretty good. I was
suddenly, this is going to be a little ASMR. ASMR for Adam. It's like, suddenly he got a little.
Right.
It's kind of smacking the lips a little bit.
That kind of deep breath for the. Okay. So that's, I guess, the thing. We got that.
You grab the pillow cushion from the couch and just like put it on your lap right there.
So anyway, they're coming back from a planet surface. There was this like fucking Klingon. It was a Klingon garbage site. They were excavating it. I don't think they ever say why. They're just doing it.
She's like, oh yeah, you mean going through Klingon trash.
Why did I put Tucker to fuck it? LOL. Oh, because Tucker looking hot too. Fuck it. Yeah, like, my man Tucker got it right, bro. I'm not gay, but in a heterosexual way, he's a good looking man. Okay. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Then he coughs. I'm in COVID with that fucking cough. First of all, this man ain't never heard a cover in his goddamn mouth when he's coughing. That's number one. So he starts coughing, and then he starts coughing like uncontrollably. And I was laughing so hard. So I go,
Hoshi better get 6 feet away from that motherfucker.
For real. So he tells Hoshi, take the wheel, I guess, whatever. Yeah. she's like, oh, okay. And they have to dock. And typical Hoshi doesn't know what she's doing. So Archer goes, Have you successfully docked the shuttle before, basically? And she goes, in the simulation.
Well, no,
cutest thing I've ever seen.
Well,
in
no,
my life.
She goes, yeah. And then she goes, in simulation, like really right. low, but like kind right. of at that
and
side.
He's like, you'll do fine. Like, oh shit, this bitch's gonna scratch the paint. So,
dude, then they end up in the then they get into decon
yeah. And I was laughing. The first thing out of Hoshi's mouth was, should we start with the biogel? I see you, Hoshi.
somebody was a little thirsty that
point. And I was like, but then I was also going, yes, you should.
It would have been funny if Archer and Phlox are like, yeah go ahead and kind of slow.
Right,
like
right,
a little slow.
Right.
Make
it's
sure.
Like, well, do you want me to put it on Trip? No. Just apply it on yourself.
Make sure.
And then DePaul slides up. No, you can put it on Trip. Like, wait, yeah. What's happening?
Yeah, right Phlox is going. Make sure you get every crevice, and you just hear Archer.
So,
And then out of nowhere, some of the other crew start sticking their head in the window as she's putting the gel on.
So I also put hidden aliens studying humans. We've done this trope to death. This was before I realized this episode was really good. So I was just like, okay, like, because we have. I mean, I think every Star Trek show has had that, like, Voyager. Again, we call back to Voyager because this is Enterprise and their sister shows, essentially. They had that where the invisible aliens were driving Janeway mad.
Yeah.
And then we had a similar episode in TNG, but there was more. That was a great episode, too, where Captain Picard got abducted.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He was with, like, a not. It was he. Of course, because Picard's a Mary Sue, he figures out that these people are all designed to fight each other. Like, it was a really good episode.
I think DS9 had one similar too. I think they at every point they did. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Because one of them was a gem had was a changeling.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Who watches the Watchers? Kind of shit. You know? I'm sorry. I see my notes and then I try to remember. So, you know, they're in decon, whatever. And then fucking.
Well, because, it's at the point there was Mayweather and Reed, quote unquote, Mayweather and Reed, were watching, they're observing these and they're, you know, Archer's reaction to what's going on. And I remember there was that point where they were like going, you know, everybody can, you know, get sick from this. And they're like, well, the shuttle pod and the shuttlecraft and the containment room are self-contained. So there's no way for it to get out. And they're just kind of making comments on what's going on.
Well, and you can also tell, they have a vested interest in what's going on, but you can also tell they've seen this before.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a new thing to them. It's very clinical. The way they're talking about it, it was very interesting how it built through.
Because they mentioned that the Klingons, so you start to realize, oh wait, that Klingon stuff that they saw down there has happened to the Klingons, and then they drop the Cardassians in there.
Yeah, which I thought was a cool name drop because I don't think there's ever been a Cardassian in that show.
No, because they hadn't met them yet.
They hadn't met them yet. Yeah. And what a joy they are. Yeah. You know,
because you know it's still a long road.
Getting from there to Cardassia. So Trip, or not, I'm sorry, Reed, well, quote unquote Reed, shows up in sick bay and he's asking Phlox a bunch of questions. And Phlox is busy trying to cure this disease he's never seen before.
Unlike you, dude, I got to work. What the fuck?
Phlox just wants to get rid of this cat. So he asks a question and Phlox just opens the door and he's like, get out, fuck off, you know? So he leaves. Also, Mayweather tried to ask, was this in act one or act two?
No, this is act one. Is when he tried to
ask. Yeah, Mayweather was trying to ask Trip do the thing and Trip's like, gotta get some sleep here.
That was so fun. Compared to your other sicknesses, how would you rate this? And then Trip kind of walks over to the screen like, fuck off. And
you know what was funny is, The way he handled that scene was very Trip, where it was like he was calm, but you could see on his face, the fuck away from me. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he's like, you get some sleep here, Travis. I'm going to. And he just shuts the little privacy screen.
Yeah, that was great.
So obviously Phlox is about to activate Mary Sue mode. But they also, too, we learn because Trip and Hoshi were talking in decon, and we learned that she actually got kicked out of Starfleet Academy for gambling. And then I'm sitting there going, gambling? What are you gambling? Hugs? No fucking money. So I was like, oh, she's a badass now? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, because that didn't get her kicked out because they said that the conduct was you couldn't gamble while on duty and then she said so she made things on the weekend, and then her I guess CO or something like that came in when she was doing this on the weekend and tried to break up the game, and then tried to I think toss what or throw whatever credits were on there, and then she grabbed the dude's arm and then broke it.
I was because we also learned she is a black belt in Aikido now too. I go, Who rewrote the character? I was like, what is happening? But I'm here for it.
Yeah, exactly. So
there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, and then I was just like going, oh shit, Hoshi's a badass. Because this is funny too, because we get this episode, and then in a couple of episodes, we have the Mirror Darkly.
Yeah.
You know, and then she's even more of a badass and hotter than the goddamn.
Sun, yeah, I mean, really? She's,
you know, so you're just kind of like going, oh shit, they're really doing.
See, everybody talks about DePaul, and DePaul's great. But Hoshi is the hottest woman on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down. Okay? And if you don't think so, stop watching it. You're not a fan.
Yeah, because it gets because it gets into all that because, well, Trip mentions the Andromeda Strain.
Yeah,
the movie. And also,
Trip always with these obscure-ass movies, bro. And she even says, she goes, all your movies, I don't follow the... It's you can tell, and I loved how they played that where Trip was really into movies, like older movies to him, but you can tell that it wasn't a very common thing in society to be watching movies.
Unlike now, it's just like,
yeah, unlike now, right? It was, and we've even heard in a TNG episode, I think Data said once that the art of like TV and movies kind of died out in the mid 21st century. We're not on that trajectory in real life.
Right.
But
what,
you know.
What I thought was interesting in that was because, is it this scene or is it the next one when he talks about her? I think it's the next time they talk because it talks about her and her languages.
It's the next one, yeah.
Yeah.
So, act two, speaking of next one. So Archer's basically tripping because.
Oh wait, we forgot though. They determined the virus is silicon based,
and then Archer goes, "Well, maybe Trip's immune system will fight it off," and I'm like, "Archer, stop it." Now the reason why they're talking mostly about Trip is because while they know Hoshi is sick because she started coughing, Trip is bad. Yeah. Like he's sweating. And he can barely stand. Like he looks like he got the flu. Like he looks really bad. Hoshi's she looks sick, but she's, you know, like, not too bad
yet. Like Trip got original COVID. And
yeah, she got
Omicron, yeah.
Omicron or fucking
Delta or Epsilon.
Voltron or whatever the fuck she got, bro.
Epsilon Indy code 001. I don't know.
It's like, yo, you keep talking like that, the Russians are gonna show up. Calm down. I even put in the notes, Tucker sweating like James Brown, bro. He was sweat.
Oh yeah, it was flop sweats. Like,
yeah, it was gross. And then we get to see a little scene in the corridor with Reed and Mayweather again, as the aliens, whatever the fuck they are, and they're talking about I forget what they were saying, but I put in the notes. I'm happy that Mayweather got some lines because he's really got some lines, man.
Yeah, he did. Because in this one, they're talking about they're talking about when you know that because they're talking because they said Phlox diagnosed the virus, and they said you know, and then about something about like, you know, they haven't talked about, you know, getting rid of the crew, the infected members.
Right.
Because of, like, the Klingons and stuff like that did.
One thing these two do is they compare them to the Klingons a lot, because I think that's the last people that went through it. And that they said that the Klingons didn't bring them aboard.
Yeah.
Didn't bring the sick aboard. And one of them is a little more conservative than the other. You can tell that they kind of don't fully agree with each other and how it's being handled.
And
it gets worse throughout the episode.
Yeah, I kind of saw it as, well, because Reed kept...
One's an old head, basically.
Yeah, because Reed kept saying, you know, I've seen this 8,000 times. So he's is how old. It is.
Like, they're... Well, they talk about, like, 10,000 years. Like, yeah, they've been doing it for a long time.
And in the way I see it, like, even though they're like, that old, I see Mayweather as a little more younger. Because he was a little
fresh
more...
Fresh ideas.
The fresh ideas. And, yeah, yeah. The you know, the as you would say, the progressives versus the old, these, like, because he starts to show a little empathy,
right?
You know, because he's like going, well, you know, they're doing this is different. And
the other guy, everyone on the ship is like watching an anthill.
Yeah,
doesn't care.
And he, cause he's already saying that, like, you know, they brought them on board and they, you know, and he's like, going, they're all going to be dead soon.
Yeah. And they talk about probabilities a lot. Like, he's like, there's a 68% chance that blah, blah, blah. Like, he's just, it's mathematical to him. He doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
So, and this is also another Star Trek trope where humans have a special spark,
yeah,
kind of thing, but it plays out well. Oh, so I was reading Act Three like an idiot. So we're back in Decon, and the two of them are talking, and they notice that Phlox and T'Pol are staring at them in the fucking window. Creepy, bro. And it's actually the aliens. So we find out the aliens can pop into other people.
Yeah, because earlier on they said something about they wanted to get some more information, and the only way they could do that was get into Phlox and the science officer.
Yeah, and then the younger one was like, well, why don't we just become them, basically?
Yeah, because their whole thing was they didn't want to interfere with their work. They just wanted to observe what was going on.
Right. So they pop in, and they ask a couple of random questions, and their trip is more receptive to them because it's Phlox and T'Pol.
Right.
But then he kind of starts giving them the shove off too. Like, I don't know. He always says, I'd feel more comfortable if you two were working on the cure, you know, because they were the two. Whenever Phlox needs help, T'Pol will help. She's the science officer.
Yeah.
So they were working on it. so one, I said this is a Halloween episode with the music, bro. 100%.
It was pretty creepy.
But we also find out from the aliens now, who are now speaking through T'Pol and Phlox, that this is a first contact situation. They're actually trying to decide if humans are smart enough or ready to do first contact. That's the whole reason they're doing this. And it's crazy because at first I hated these two, and then I realized they haven't really done anything.
No,
they're just watching. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, it was really interesting. I also randomly. Why are Trip, and I don't mean this in a sexual way, why are Trip and Hoshi still in their uniforms? Like, they're dripping with sweat.
Yeah, you figured,
like, it made no sense. Like, you would figure they'd go into something comfortable and they'd be resting.
Yeah,
but you know, I guess we don't do the sexy outfits in the Decon chamber anymore. You know, yeah, no, whatever. I kind of missed
the little crop tops that, you know, she used to wear in the Decon chamber.
Absolutely.
Well, this was one of the things that this is where Hoshi and Trip kind of had a little more into. We got a little more into Trip because Trip says that he was always kind of jealous of
her verbal abilities,
her cunning linguist abilities.
Whoa, always been jealous of that tongue, girl.
Because he asks her, like, how many languages do you speak, and she's like, I don't think of it that way. And then
yeah, because she's so good at linguistics, it's not about knowing languages anymore. She just can pick them up because they have common things. She was explaining it briefly.
Yeah. And then she said that she always kind of thought about, like, she always kind of liked Trip because he was an engineer, you know, putting things together. What she said was duct tape and a pocket knife. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then of course she asks him if he was always good, and he tells this little anecdotal story about that he was a kind of a terror, and then
he would take things apart, which is something you would expect.
Yeah, because you always want to see how things work. But the favorite was the story with the table where he unscrewed it, but it was so old that it held together until the dad put the turkey down on the table.
That was funny. It was a little, like, it wasn't needed, but it was funny.
It gave, you know what I mean? Yeah, gave something about Trip, and I thought that was really, really funny. And then he's like, you know, and he goes, and he didn't get out of my room for a month. He goes, how old were you? He was like, 24.
Also, little moments like this too, while great, they remind the audience you care deeply for these two people.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes the episode a little worse when they get worse for wear. Now we move on to dear old Hoshi. I don't know.
The what only the thing hell with happened this, to her?
The only thing with this scene is I, why?
Mm.
So she cracks the code to get out of the room. And she says something, math is just a language. First of all, that's a stretch, Dallin, but whatever. Even Archer says later, like, well, apparently Hoshi could crack all of our security codes.
I was waiting for Archer to be like, well, apparently she turned into a Mary Sue. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I didn't know T'Pol was in there with him. So she's like, she's yelling, and first she was speaking Spanish, then she spoke Klingon. Sad that I know those things, by the way. And then Trip is just telling her, you can't go out there. But he's really weak, you know?
What was funny was she was drifting between languages.
Yeah, she just kept changing languages.
She went from German to, like...
She was obviously delirious.
Yeah, she was German to Spanish, and then I think Klingon at one point. Yeah.
And then she was just saying numbers in all of those languages, too. So...
Nerd.
Sorry. So she runs out. She gets out, and she's running. And then Trip does follow her, but he takes a minute. And they shut the whole operation down. Alarms went off. You see Archer in the fucking things. Shut the whole deck down. Power out. Done.
Dude, that shot of her walking towards the camera and then the lights behind her coming shutting off. That was cool. Good.
And she's trying to open another door, but the power's out. And then Trip comes out and he goes, Hoshi, that's an airlock. So now you know that she doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
Right.
You know? And he gets her back in the room. Poor Trip, you know.
What I like though is when he stopped her and then she just started speaking, I think in Russian or something like that. And then he just kind of held her, you know.
Yeah, because she shoved him. Because remember, she's a black belt in Aikido.
Yeah.
And he just held her until she calmed down, which is what you do in situations like that. Everyone knows that whenever you're dealing with an angry drunk woman, right? Like, mm-hmm. Your lady drank too much, and she's freaking out. You just hold her.
Yeah.
Give it about 5 seconds, and she'll just melt. She'll stop, you know? I don't know if that's the same for men. If somebody tries to hold me while I'm drunk, I'm probably just going to headbutt them. But, you know, whatever. So he gets her back to the room, and she's out of it, you know? And Phlox says, you know, why don't you give her basically ketamine? It was whatever Star Trek's equivalent of ketamine is, a sedative. And he says, dial it up to 3 or whatever. And he goes, then knock out a horse.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we can't have her running around the ship.
And well, apparently the ninja over there can probably override that. So let's make sure that she's out.
Right. Well, racist to say ninja. I'm just saying, you know. So he puts her to sleep.
Trip turns around and shows she's gone again. Like, where the fuck is she? She's standing right behind Archer.
She drops a smoke pellet and shit. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, whoever did this rewrite's doing too much.
Suddenly, all of a sudden, a smoke bomb, and then you hear this. And then all of a sudden, you hear, da 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 da. She goes right up into the.
She only speaks Japanese. Nothing else. And she speaks it like an old movie. You know what I mean?
The sinks off when she speaks, you know. She drops a smoke pellet, and all of a sudden, you hear this. And like she's like flies right up into the top of the quarter, and you hear just dun 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 dun. It's like, who are you? I'm Hoshi.
Jesus. So then Phlox says,
"I don't think we have the rights to this."
Says, "Give the same medicine to yourself." He's like, "What do you think? I'm gonna walk around?" And he said, "Just do it." And then there was a tender moment though that kind of, even I was like, "Wow," because he looks down at Hoshi. And they're kind of telling him, hey, you know, just give the set. He goes, I'm just wondering if either of us are going to wake up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck, that's hard. But he did it. Yeah. Grown man shit. You know what I mean? So he does it. And then Phlox is like, you better lay down. He goes, no argument there. He just kind of collapses into the bed. But the scene was fun. And it was cool. But you don't really know why she did it. But I guess... You know, she's just delirious. Yeah, probably felt claustrophobic delirious. And wanted to get out.
I mean, you know, like, and not to bring up a thing, like, John started to get that way. And I remember I woke up in the middle of the night and noticed, like, the bathroom light was on. And I kind of got up and I looked on the couch and he wasn't there. And I was like, and this is like 3:30 in the morning. And I'm like, where the fuck is he? I look at the door and, like, door's closed. And then I noticed the light on in the kitchen. I walk over and he's on the floor, sitting on the floor. And I look and I see like half a chicken, because we buy those rotisserie chickens from like Smart and Final.
Yeah.
And like the chicken is sitting on a plate on the stove, and stove wasn't on or anything like that. And I looked and I go, what the hell are you doing? And he just kind of looked at me and he was kind of out of it. And he goes, I was going to make the dog a snack. And I was like, they're asleep. It's 3:30 in the morning, dude. You know?
Yeah. When you're delirious, you'd be doing weird shit.
Yeah.
You know, because your brain is not responding to reality correctly. So, I mean, my grandfather was the same way too when, you know, when it got laid on. But he just thankfully wasn't as mobile. Yeah. So, you know, he didn't move much. But he fucking yelled at everybody though. You know, I'd be like, hey, you trying to eat? And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, eat. You want some food? He's like, don't fucking give me an attitude. I'm like, what are you talking about giving me an attitude? I'm telling you, you want some food. He goes, you give me attitude. I'm like, well, I'm giving you attitude now. I remember he told me, he's like, he goes, he said, I'm going to take your Sega away if you keep talking back to me. And I go, I'm 34 years old. You can't take my Sega away. And then he kind of snapped back and started laughing. And also, he probably could. Oh, I'd give it to him. Yeah, I don't know what to do. Yeah.
You'd be so confused. You would be like, yeah, oh.
Like, here, man, the controllers are there if you want to play. Oh, by the way, at the beginning of this scene, on the notes, I put, oh, shit, Akito time, because she checked his ass into the wall. So now Phlox notices that I'm way farther. So now we're back on the alien bitches, right? And they're talking on the bridge, and you know, in hush whispers, and the younger one is kind of like now really saying we should do something different, and then he's like, well, I know we can talk where we won't be seen. And now they inhabit Trip and Hoshi. Now Trip and Hoshi are supposed to be knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
And they just stand up. Here's my thing. You didn't know there was a fucking camera there? So they just stand up and they're having a casual conversation with each other. And you see Phlox and Sick Bay, and then he looks over to camera like a double take, like, what the fuck? He goes, you two shouldn't be awake. And then he you know, tunes in and he hears that they're talking about the humans, this and this and that. I think he even says fascinating, drop a little Spock line in there.
Yeah.
And then it must have been creepy as fuck for Phlox, but the Hoshi just slowly looks at the camera. We're being watched. I tell you, it's a horror episode. So now he's Phlox is recording like the audio and he's doing doctor shit, you know? It's fucking Phlox, baby. And now T'Pol and Archer show up in sickbay and he goes, oh, Captain, I was just gonna come see you and show you that these patterns don't match. And he asks, how did you figure this out? And then he said, you know, how he did it. And then they just start talking to each other like aliens. And Phlox is like, oh, shit, bro. Like, what the fuck? I'm just going
to
trip.
I expect Phlox to just, like, drop his hands, roll his eyes back, and go, motherfuck.
These bitches. So they have a little conversation. And they're being open and honest with him, which I thought was weird at first. And they're saying that no one's, like, they basically said that we haven't been in physical form for so long that we, you know, we just didn't realize you'd be able to see us or something like that. And they're excusing their stupidity, essentially. And then they start explaining that they can manipulate memories and that he's never going to remember this anyway and blah, blah, blah.
And also the fact and I think Phlox accuses them of like giving him this virus. And they're like, no. We're just observing.
Right. This is the first time they officially say we have no involvement in the virus whatsoever. Now that but you start to realize that the real problem is they have the ability to fix it.
Right.
And they're not doing that, which is complacency. Complacency is shitty too. Like, you should help people. So next scene, Phlox is in bridge. He doesn't remember a fucking thing. I thought that was so cool.
I know.
He's so clever, you know?
Yeah, I know. Cause he's over there talking to Archer about like, I think what he said, he's like, a, he, I think that's when they determined the old denobulin like solution was like precise radiation or something like that.
No, I think that's later? In the beginning of a lot happens in Act 4. Or maybe it was. I think it was. You're right. You're right. So then, so Phlox notices on the monitor that Hoshi's getting real bad and they need to make a move. I said, yes, yeah, she's dying from that running around like a fucking fool, bro. And I even mentioned they did a really good job making these two look sick as fuck because they bring them to sick bay. And they're in hazmat suits now. The captain and
Because they have to treat her now because
they have to do it in sick bay.
In sick bay, so Archer and Phlox go to do this, and Reed and Mayweather are in the room waiting for them to go into so they can, you know, seal the door behind them, but they're watching on the screen above.
Right. So they're in hazmat suits, so because, you know, they don't want to get sick, and the whole deck is closed off or whatever. So now we're in Act 4. A lot happens in Act 4, and it moves quickly. So pay attention. Archer's a fucking G, so they're having issues fixing, like, to working with the patients, basically, because of the suits. And the doctor says these tools are not made for hazmat suits.
I thought he punctured his suit at first.
I thought he did too.
Yeah.
But Archer starts to take his suit off. Like, he starts to take his glove off, and the doctor goes, no.
The thing, when he started with his pants first, I was like, dude, I think you're going the wrong way.
Phlox goes, no, out. And he goes, the ship needs a doctor more than it needs a captain. Yo, Archer stays being a fucking G.
Yeah.
110%. So he takes his gloves off and he takes his helmet off too. Fucking might as well. He already took your fucking helmet off.
Yeah, I know. It's like there's no point now.
So it cuts to Paul on the bridge who's watching it on the monitor, and she barely reacts. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot for her. Like, she's torn up inside. And then it cuts back, and Archer goes to get the medicine, and it's in a needle for some reason. And Phlox says it's old but effective. And it's so funny because something happens, and Archer's just like, let's just do it. And I go, never tell Archer the odds. So they put this thing in – they open up Hoshi's coat. By the way, the tone on the stomach, congratulations. You're really in the gym, you know? Just want to say that. It's a non-sexual thing, by the way. I just noticed. I was like, okay, cool.
What, he's like going, okay, open up her suit and put these on her. And then Phlox turns around and turns back around, and she's like in her underwear. And he's like, I just said open up the suit. What the hell are you doing?
Now take her bra off. Like, wait a minute.
Shut up, Phlox. You're ruining the moment.
So they put the thing in, and it's basically to get her heart started again. It seems to be, you know, what we're supposed to think it is.
Like a defibrillator. So
they activate it, and it looks like she's getting shanked.
I know. The first it was like, da-da. And then the next one was like, da-da-da-da. And I was like, going, Jesus.
And not effective, by the way. And she dies.
Yeah.
And it's, but they don't. You can see the emotion on Archer's face, but they don't have time because Trip is still there.
Yeah.
And Trip might be able to save. So he has to, she had to, or he had to pick up dead Hoshi, put her on a different bed so Trip could lay on the scanner thing to give him the radiation. I was like, wow, that's got to be heavy, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and then they do the radiation on Trip, and unfortunately it doesn't work. So now they're both dead.
Well, no, he didn't die yet. Remember, he was still kind of breathing.
Oh, and then, he was dying. He was dying.
And then, right. To Paul. He calls to Paul and tells her about taking over the ship and stuff like that.
Yeah, and he tells the doctor to leave, and that the doctor says that he still has a few hours and he'll do everything he can. And Archer's kind of just like, hey, it is what it is, bro. You know. And
but this is where to Paul says something really kind of like telling when she was like, if Commander Tucker wakes up again, you know, I want to speak to him.
Yeah.
So like
for Vulcan, she was a fucking mess.
Yeah. She was. She was like, you know, it's like suddenly everything kind of came back a little bit.
Right. And now she's realizing she's too busy looking at her damn books and she's missing out on shit. So
she missing out on that trip Tucker did.
Missing out on them sessions. You feel me? So now we have missing Archer.
Out on his, she's missing out on his cowboy hat and six guns slinging around and just, you know, swinging dick
right.
sessions.
So now we have Archer in the room with two dead people.
Oh, and then, that when Trip died, dude, like you just.
Oh, yeah, I skipped that part. So, yeah, it was this real shallow breath. And then Archer stopped. Put his hand on his chest and he just stopped breathing.
Yeah.
And it was like. It was pretty. I've seen like videos of people that die from sickness like that, and it's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
It just stops.
It just stops.
And you see Archer just kind of. It hits him a little bit. And then, because Trip, you know, if you guys are new to the show, Trip, they're like best friends.
Yeah.
So then Trip starts talking. And Archer looked like he was going to shit himself.
I think he did shit himself.
You can just tell by the empathy on the face that it's the younger alien.
Yeah.
And he starts to say, no, I'm not Trip, really. I'm blah, blah, blah. And he starts to introduce himself. And then Hoshi jumps the fuck up and says something about break apart. I would have screamed like a fucking baby bitch. She popped out that bed a little too. I would turn around, motherfucker.
Popped like, up and you hear Archer go,
It's like he sat up slowly and spoke to me. You jumped up that fucking bed.
I would have been pulling out that phaser pistol and just start shooting shit.
So this is Night of the Living Dead. These two are dead, and they're just using them as hosts. So they're explaining it, and Archer, first of all, Emmy season was up because Scott Bakula killed this fucking scene, dude. He was almost to tears the whole time. And the whole agenda becomes clear now, where it's we're just supposed to be observers, and the younger one is arguing with the older one. He's like, no, the humans are different. They've shown that they have empathy and something we've lost, you know. And Archer is reiterating that fact.
Yeah, because he says that he goes, you guys may be evolved, but you guys
not from where I'm standing.
Yeah, that's not so where I'm. Like, yeah, shit. Not from where I'm standing because you lack empathy, compassion. You know,
right. But they also seem to lack the ability to be offended because he was just listening to Archer. He wasn't getting upset.
Yeah.
And then Archer has a cool idea at the end. He goes, because oh, and then the younger alien's like, we have the ability to fix this, as if it didn't happen, basically. Which and you could see Archer kind of tune in on that, like, oh, he can bring his friends back or whatever.
Right.
And he said the best way to experience. Oh, before all this even happened, I missed this part where he's like, why would you do this? And the older alien's like, to observe you, how else would we do that? He's like, ask us.
Yeah, talk to us.
And then he's like, said something
talking is a limited form of communication. Yeah.
So anyway, at the end of the conversation, Archer says the best way to experience, not observe, but to do it, like show empathy. And then it just kind of. It's one of those episodes where this never happened because they rearrange everybody's memories and nobody remembers why they basically wait. Well, they remember everything, but they don't remember that all that stuff that happened in sickbay. So then they cut to the bridge and you hear Archer on the thing and everyone's sad because they think Hoshi died and Trip died and Archer's going to die. And Archer comes up and he goes, hey, you better come in here because these two just got up and they're perfectly fine.
Because he goes, to Paul, if you wanted to know if Trip came true.
Right. He's being cute, too. Right. I would have told him, hey, it ain't the time for jokes, Doc. Like, what the fuck? So then they go in there and Phlox is scanning them and he says, yeah, no sign of the thing. And he kind of goes, I don't really know what happened. And he goes, maybe the radiation that we gave Trip was late, but I don't know how it jumped to you two. And they just kind of go. Oh, well, you know what I mean? Like, fuck it, which is exactly what you would do in that situation.
Yeah, because you'd be like,
because Archer goes, someone at Starfleet Medical will figure it out.
Right.
But he's just happy that everybody was back. And he said to leave. I think this last thing he said was to leave a
a beacon,
like a beacon,
yeah, warning
to
beacon.
Warn people to that would so that it wouldn't hurt anybody. And then it's the end of the episode, so they don't know anything about the aliens.
No, because Mayweather and Reed have a final thing where they're walking down the hallway talking about
things need to change.
Yeah, the Organians will, you know, never be able to observe another species, you know, with the virus. And he's like, well, we'll just, you know, after 10,000 years, you know, the rules have to change somehow. And then he said that, like, what was it that because Reed said something about changing the rules on how they have, you know, that maybe they have to push forth, I think, Mayweather's ideas. And then he said something about, well, they should start preparing for first contact with the humans. And he said, you know, that'll occur in like 5,000 years, which it doesn't, because it actually occurs in 100 years when Kirk and the Klingons meet the Organians.
Yeah.
So.
Which is cool. Yeah. Little callbacks and stuff. It was so funny, too, because you can tell they're very long. We already know they're very long lived species, which makes sense. They don't have a physical form, so the physical form never fails them. But they said we only have 5,000 years. You think about it, for a being that's either eternal or lives that long, 5,000 years is like a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of crazy, little thing at the end, but really good episode. I'm going to read not too many production notes this time around. Usually when it's a really good episode, there isn't, because no one's talking about what fuck-ups there were. Since the galaxy of the Star Trek, the original series, seems to be swarming with non-physical beings, which is true.
Yeah.
The producers of Star Trek Enterprise decided to implement such a race in one of their episodes. Again, furthermore, like the previous episode, Daedalus, Observer Effect is a bottle show. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they had two bottle shows in a row.
Yeah, well, after the Vulcan thing, I think they probably spent a little
break.
Yeah, you know. Like going, yeah, I think we don't need to.
That Vulcan thing was heavy.
Yeah, so it's like, we got enough cast members and shit on that. We need to kind of scale it down a little bit. We'll have enough money. We'll even get Phlox an extra day of shooting.
For real. You give Phlox more days of shooting. This is one of the rare episodes of the entire Star Trek franchise which don't feature any credited guest stars, with the credits proceeding straight into the production staff after the opening titles. Yeah, there were no good. I mean,
yeah, there was nobody.
Yeah. The final draft of the episode script was submitted on October 21st, 2004. Tucker draws comparisons between his and Sato's situation and the film The Andromeda Strain, which was directed by Robert Wise. Subsequently, the microbe infecting Tucker and Sato is revealed to be silicon-based, hexagonal, and of extraplanetary origin, which makes it very similar to the one portrayed in the film. I'm sure it was a little callback, you know, to that movie.
Plus, Robert Wise is the director of Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Right. So it's a lot of connected dots thing going on here. The Organians were first introduced in the TOS episode Errand of Mercy, set over 100 years after the date of Observer Effect. Thus, the parting prediction in the episode that they would not make official contact with humans for 5,000 years would prove untrue.
That episode has one of my favorite lines in it, when the Organians basically say Kirk, the Enterprise, and the Klingons can't fight. And then the Klingon's like going, he goes, what did he say? He goes, yes, he goes, it's a pity we can't fight. It would have been glorious.
Nice. No, I've never seen that one. I didn't watch
that's
that.
That's a great one, yeah.
Beside Klingons, another race the Organians have observed is the Cardassians, a species first referenced in Enterprise here, even though one was seen in Dead Stop. Oh, yeah,
there was one of the skeleton, one of those.
Yeah, where they were all on the thing that would take people, right?
Yeah.
To fix the ship. Therefore, the episode is the first time that one has, or that the Cardassians are mentioned in the Star Trek timeline. I mean, yeah, but nobody heard it. But yes, you're right. Yeah,
but it's canon.
Yeah. This is the only episode of Enterprise in which Reed can be seen manning the communication station on the bridge. Probably didn't know where the fuck he was going.
It's like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Oh, also Hoshi was not there. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. Obviously, Hoshi speaks German too. As she says, Ikwert zu, whatever. I'm sorry. I don't speak German. It means I will be late for class. When she falls in to other languages while sleeping, she is also heard speaking Russian, Spanish, Japanese, French, Turkish, and Arabic, and Klingon.
Let's not forget Klingon.
Klingon was in there. The chess set scene in the episode was sold off on It's a Wrap, sale and auction, eBay. I would have bought that. The simple chess set, but just so we're playing chess and halfway through the game, you know, this is one from that Enterprise episode, right?
You're like, oh, it's shit.
That's
oh,
right. Shit. No big deal. You know,
it's the one with it's the one with Kirk and Spock. It's like, no. This is the one with Malcolm and Mayweather. Who?
They just knock all the pieces the fuck out of here.
And not even taking their eyes off the other person who's telling them. They just knock it over just without breaking eye contact.
And then still holding eye contact. You really thought you did something here, right? You weak ass bitch. Jesus. Didn't Spock and Kirk always play that three-dimensional chess?
Yeah, three-dimensional chess, yeah.
I have watched tutorial videos of that three-dimensional chess. I cannot wrap my head around it. 2D is fine. You know? I got so confused. I'm just going to play Monopoly. Like, exactly.
So next week we start the new three-part episodes.
Next week this on Star Trek.
I think in this setup now, this is, or the one that we just discovered, or the one we just talked about, is I think the last single episode. The next ones are, there's a three-parter, and then a two-parter, and then the two-part final two episodes before we get to the classic episode, These Are the Voyages. So.
Ooh, the next episode. So the next episode is Babel 1. This is a big canon episode.
Yeah, because we're starting to get the formation of the Federation here, the Tellarites.
Right. And I love Tellarites. The Tellarites don't get enough screen time. They're so fun. So like, for those who don't know, Tellarites respect you if you argue with them. So if you're nice, they don't really like it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, they always are fucking talking shit, dude. And I love it. Yeah. Isn't this the episode where Archer has trouble with that at first?
I think so.
Because they're kind of being a dick and he doesn't get it.
Yeah, because they're meeting between them and Andorians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which should always go well.
My wife is home. That's why my dog is freaking out.
So, that is next time on Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Enterprise.
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share the show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us, themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.